It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It's a cool one out there. It's going to be a cool, 95 degrees. Tomorrow's supposed to reach triple digits. I felt at times this summer like we almost kind of had it easy. There was like a week where it was like 100 degrees, and then like literally the next week it was like 72. It happened to be the week that my parents were here. It was amazing. They're not used to heat or humidity, being from the West Coast. So I think they were literally sweating their rear ends off when it was like 100 and humid. But then when it was 72, they were like incredibly relieved. You like hot weather?
Not at all.
The pool? Lakes?
I like the pool.
Any of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about moving down to Phoenix. I always kind of go back to that. And I spent about 2 days there. When I was flying in, I go, wow, everybody's got a pool here. That's awesome. And then about after 2 days, it's not a pool for luxury. You need that after about a half an hour of work.
It's a pool for survival, man.
That's right.
Phoenix is different, though. So I actually grew up kind of in a desert. People don't really know that. But desert heat is different than humidity heat, like humid heat. And it's like, if it was 100 degrees where I grew up, it was 100 degrees. It was hot. But I will tell you right now that 90 degrees with humidity, I will take the 100 degrees with in the desert over 90 degrees with humidity or even like high 80s. High 80s maybe, but then it was interesting. I went to St. Louis. It was even more humid. You go to Virginia, it's even more humid. Then you go to Florida. I did a workout in Florida when I was rehabbing for my knee at the Andrews Institute, which is actually in Gulf Breeze, but everyone says Pensacola because nobody's ever heard of Gulf Breeze. It's just right across the bridge. To this day, because I've been a part of a lot of hot summer workouts, hot two-a-days, and then you got pads on, you got a helmet, you got the old ice towel, they're dousing you, they're trying to keep you cool, they're trying to cool you off. It works for about 15 seconds, and then you feel like you're being baked alive. Experienced that a million times. Okay. The last workout I did, I got cleared after like 80,000 years of rehab, got cleared. It actually wasn't bad, dude. We moved down there. Like, it was a lot of rehab, it was a lot of workouts, but basically I get up in the morning and I drive to the Andrews Institute, pools on the right, Palm Beaches, ocean on the left. I'd go do a morning rehab session. Then I would come home for lunch. Then I'd go back, I'd do an afternoon rehab session, probably some sort of a workout session based on where I was at in my rehab, running, lifting, whatever it is that I could do. Obviously, the healthier I got, the more I could do, the more intense it became. I'd come home at night. Again, the ocean would just be on the opposite side, but you'd have pools and palm trees. I'd go hang out with the family at the pool, go to the beach that night. That was Monday through Friday. Basically, rehab, working out, which can suck. I'm not going to lie. In of itself, it can absolutely suck and be painful. But then, I don't know. It was like I was having I don't want to say the time of my life, but I was like, I was in the proper mindset. I was enjoying things. And Saturday, we'd go down to Destin. They got Crab Island, spend the whole day there. And then usually Sunday, we would just like hibernate the whole day because we'd be exhausted. Then we'd do it again. We did that for like 4 or 5 months. We did it all the way from March until like late August, however many months that is. I was working my butt off, but it felt like I was on vacation the whole time, all the same time. Last workout I did, I mean, it was like mid to late August. It's Florida. It's humid. It's hot. And where we run is on turf. Turf adds about 10 to 15 degrees. To this day, it is the hottest I have ever felt in my life. I wasn't in pads. It was a workout, not a practice. I was in pads, cut-off shirt, you know, shorts, all that good stuff. You take the shirt off after a while because, you know, taking off 1/10 of a layer of clothing somehow makes the difference in your mind. I guess I was working on my tan, if I want to justify it. They had ice towels at both ends, not just one end, because normally you'll run down, then you run back, use the ice towel, you get one. They had it at both ends. Every time I'd run, I think it was 110 with parachutes on. Every time they would douse me with ice cold water. I would drink ice cold water or Gatorade as much as I could. I don't want to throw up because I'm in the middle of working out. It did not matter. Like, it did not matter. Nothing cooled me off. I've never felt like that in my entire life. So it kind of gives you, it's interesting because there's different kinds of heat. Some people like heat. Some people like cold. For me, anytime I got a schedule, especially in the NFL, I'd look for two things. Cold weather games, no, I'm cool with that. We can go to New York in December. We can go to Kansas City in November and January. I'm all good with that. Freezing cold doesn't bother me. Coldest game I have ever played in to this day in my life was the Big 12 championship game my senior year in Kansas City versus Oklahoma. We played against Texas in Lincoln. Fourth quarter, it snowed that same year. But I would always look for hot weather games in Denver. I've got asthma. So that altitude would get me. Now, I never actually played in Denver. Of all 32 teams, I played against all 32 teams in the NFL except for the Broncos. For whatever reason, never played against them, home or away. But I'd always look for Denver because of the altitude and my asthma, and then hot weather games. Miami, Jacksonville never seemed to be as hot, even though it's Florida. Tampa, you know, if it's early in the season, you're going down to Texas. You know, as the season wears along, like if you're used to 10, 15 degrees, you go out to California, even though it's only 75 degrees, it feels like 90 because of you're just not used to it. So those are the things I'd always look for. I don't know. I do kind of, I think I've talked about this before, I enjoy changes in weather. Like, I enjoy when it's really cold, and I enjoy when it's really hot, as long as it changes to something else. Literally the only thing I don't like, bad pun intended, the wind it blows. Okay, other than that, you know, I just like changes in weather. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we do. We have an absolutely loaded show. Nebraska is going to wear alternate uniforms, all black versus USC. What are our thoughts on alternate uniforms in general? Do we like the all black uniforms? I've spoken out on alternate uniforms, not a ton, sporadically over the years. Because once you voice your opinion, unless it changes, it tends to be the same opinion. I will say this. If we're going to wear alternate uniforms, I'm always going to be more partial to it if it's going to be black or black shirt oriented. That's going to help how I view it. Just going to be fully honest with my bias on that. I'm not a particular fan of alternate uniforms in general, but we'll get to that. Michigan finally is punished. Finally, the Rock. Now, Michigan has been punished. We know what's going to happen to the Wolverines. And Dana Holgorsen, Donovan Raiola, Dylan Raiola, a couple other players will have a press conference probably around hour two of this show, and we'll be breaking that down. All right, let's light this candle. Hour one of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest and quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. Again, that's HamiltonTEL.com. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Adam Carriker Show, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Grab your lunch. Come join us. What you're going to get, unique insight, unbridled honesty, and Bad News Bach, that's officially your name, and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. We're going to talk Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. All right, Michigan. The hammer was brought down, or do you think it was? Jake, what is the punishment officially for Michigan? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Was the hammer brought down? Was it too light? What are your thoughts, my friend? Yes, and so I want Bad News Bach on this, by the way.
Yeah, so Michigan does get a major fine and then an additional game for Coach Moore. That game will probably be served in 2026. Of course, either way, wasn't going to affect Nebraska unless they decided, hey, you're going to have to serve those games before the Nebraska game. They did not do that. So there's three games total for Coach Moore. They also levied an 8-year show cause penalty for Connor Stallions and a 10-year for Jim Harbaugh, which basically means you have to show cause of why it wouldn't, you know, why you shouldn't be fined if you're going to hire one of them to coach in college. So basically those guys are out of the college circles for that measure of time.
So one quick question for those who may not know. So let's say it doesn't, I think Harbaugh is going to do well with the Chargers. Okay. But let's say it doesn't go well. He gets fired. He wants to come back to coach college football in 5 years. Like if, I'm just going to pick a school out of thin air. Let's say PJ Fleck doesn't row the boat so well in Minnesota. Minnesota wants to hire.
How dare you?
Khaki's gym doesn't wash his hands after he goes to the bathroom at Big Ten Media Days. Harbaugh. They would have to pay a hefty fine in order to hire him or show why they shouldn't have to pay a hefty fine. Right. That's what that means?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Also, as we look at it too, the exact number is not available, so we'll have to see, but a significant fine. Like we said, it includes 2 years of a postseason football revenue. So size of the fine is expected to be considerable, although the amount will not be available. While there's variables in how much the team will get from football postseason revenue, sources expect that the number based on past Big Ten revenue and projections to be more than 20 million and perhaps even more than 25 million. So you're looking between probably 20 and 25 million dollar fine.
So pause. Is that enough? Is that too much? I believe that is the heftiest fine that's ever been doled out in the history of college football, from what I understand. Do you agree with this? Disagree? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's interesting because, and part of it too, is that they're trying to punish the school, not the players on the team right now. So if you're thinking, well, why didn't they get a postseason ban? They've kind of moved to the model more of heavy, you know, there's more money involved in the game now. So maybe you can hit the checkbooks a little bit more. So I can understand that. I always understood the argument of not, you know, kind of hurting the current team. I don't know. I mean, I think this is fine. Remember, Jim Harbaugh already served 3 games for this during the championship season. So you're kind of talking about a total of 6 games for your head coach, between 20 and 25 million. Sure. I mean, I think it's probably a good punishment, good enough to try to keep folks from doing it. But at the same time, would Michigan do it all over again? I don't think it's to the point where it's anything where it's like, yeah, and we'd give up our championship because of it. So kind of depends on how you look at it. I think it's big enough. It's kind of like the steroids thing. You can cheat all you want and take as many steroids as you want. It doesn't mean you can hit 100-mile-per-hour fastball. You still have to go out there and do it. Michigan did go out there and do it despite whatever advantages they may have had.
So I think there's a couple more things to it. I'll let you continue here in just a minute. I believe it's projected to be 10% of the football team's budget as part of the fine as well. But like you mentioned, $20 to $25 million, heftiest fine in college football history.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I had an initial reaction of this was, well, it's not my money. I don't really care. How does that affect the team? But it affects the university, and it does affect the team because you are now, your budget is, that's basically 1 year's budget, if not more, if it's closer to $25 million, which affects the type of team you can put on the field because it affects your ability to acquire talent, which then affects, all right, the university, hence the punishment. So that was my initial reaction. The other thing is it's always tough because you need to punish the guilty parties. It's almost impossible to do that without punishing the non-guilty parties. And it's really hard to do that. Like, there is 4 years of probation. Okay. Let's see what else. Fine equivalent to the cost of 10% of all football scholarships, 25% reduction in football official visits, 14-week prohibition on recruiting commits. I think there's more on there. That's what I'm going to read for now. I'm fine with it. I didn't think that they would like pull the national title from them or anything, because that was one of the things I was kind of curious to see. And I didn't think that they would. I mean, in their defense, what they did was obviously illegal. They obviously knew it wasn't right. It blatantly helped them, especially if you watch certain plays, you know, the Ohio State game the year before they won the national championship. Okay. The year they won it, all this came out before they beat Ohio State. All this came out before they beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. It all came out before they mollywopped Washington in the national championship game. So, because one of my thoughts was, man, would they have won the national title without this? Yeah, I think they would have. Now, would they have beaten Ohio State every single year that they beat them? Maybe, maybe not. There was a couple years in there where Ohio State was the better team, but for three and a half quarters. Now, part of that is Michigan was a more physical team, and that's going to show up in the fourth quarter. There are certain plays where you can see Ohio State's lined up and the whole entire Michigan sideline is like pointing, and then all of a sudden the entire team runs to the exact spot of the play. Like, that is visible to see on some of the plays. So it absolutely had an effect on the outcome. I do think either way, Michigan probably would have won the national title that year. I felt even when they came in here and beat us in Lincoln, okay, very soundly on that particular day, I was like, man, I think that's the best team in the nation. Now, they hadn't won an outright national title since 1947. I'll repeat that again, since 1947. So I had to actually see it. But I was like, man, they're really, really good. So for me, the 20 to 25 million, I'm good with it. Especially in today's college football where everyone is trying to find more ways to make revenue. Some of these other things that have been levied and been weighed in, I'm good with it. The one thing, because you mentioned, is basically a 6-game head coach suspension. 3 for Harbaugh, 2 for Sharon Moore, plus the 1 more that they just levied today. I mean, I'll be honest with you. My first thought is you either need to add more or don't move it to 2026. Make it the Oklahoma game that they clearly want Sharon Moore at this year. That's what I would have done. One more? Just one more? Okay, it's going to be Oklahoma because you clearly want him there. And this needs to hit you where it hurts. All right. Are there any other punishments we haven't talked about? I know I kind of hopped in there, probably screwed up. You probably had a list you were going down and I messed it up. Is there anything we haven't talked about yet punishment wise?
No, you're right. I mean, so ultimately it could, you know, cost, you're looking at 30 million, like you kind of said, the money that would be from the postseason would probably be around 25 million, then maybe 7 million, like you're kind of saying from, their salary cap, I suppose, or whatever you want to call it now that they have, the football budget is how they put it. One other thing to notice is that Denard Robinson, Shoelace, was hit with a 3-year show cause penalty as well in this for recruiting violations, including this because he didn't respond to the notice of allegation or attend the hearing. So that was part of it as well. But for the most part, that's the major penalties.
Really?
Yeah.
What years did he play at Michigan? Dude, I remember when he first burst on the scene. Was I with the Rams? I feel like that was like quite a while ago. I might have been with the Skins. I can't remember. Look up what years he was there. So they punished him for just not responding. Is that basically what it is?
I think so. I mean, that was part of it. The other, it says limited in inducements to a prospect and his family. So apparently, some some of that going on as well, but mostly not responding, which doesn't help. Trying to figure out when he was. So he's a Michigan assistant director of player personnel from 2022 to 2024. So that was his coaching career.
Okay.
His playing career, would have been 2012, like 29 to 2012, I think.
Yeah.
2009 to 2012, I mean.
Because I'm like having flash. Okay. So weird. I don't know if your memory works like this, but I'm like, I remember watching highlights of his games and Michigan games while I was in the St. Louis locker room, but then images flashed of me watching it in the Redskins locker room. I'm like, why am I remembering both? Because he was at Michigan while I was on both teams. And so that kind of makes sense. So that's kind of what I was thinking. I'll still never understand to this day how somebody can legit play a sport and run like that and not tie your shoes. That always blew my mind. Like, how does that work? And if you looked at them, they were legit completely untied. It wasn't like they were partially, they were flat out untied. Like, how do you plant, cut? How do you not roll an ankle? You're talking to a guy who rolled his ankle about a dozen times, going all the way back to my first memories as a kid. Of course, if you just roll an ankle and you're fine 2 days later, I'm counting that. But I did that a lot. There's a person I know in my life who rolls their ankle. Like, they might just be walking down the sidewalk and it'll give. There was one time they were supposed to bring me ice cream. And they were really late. And they get to the car. And they're like, sorry, your ice cream went flying in the air. I rolled my ankle and fell on the ground. I'm like, did somebody run in? No, I'm just walking and fell. And I'm just like, oh, so you ruined my ice cream. Like, I was like, where's my ice cream? I knew they were fine. I'm trying to think of anything else on the Michigan stuff. I do think, like, it would have meant more had they said, you have to miss that Oklahoma game. That would have stood out to me even more. Do you think they should have taken the national championship from them? Do you think they should have, like, the death penalty like they did SMU back in the day? Like, did you think any of that was on the table?
No, I didn't think that was. It just didn't feel like that was heading that way. It did feel like they were going to do a significant punishment, which I think this can be categorized as, but I never thought it was going to get that far. Again, I'm just a little bit disappointed. I've been talking about it all, you know, since they announced it, that he gets to choose when his punishment
is.
That's really silly to me. So even, I mean, if it was me, if you want to do 3 games, whatever, I would have said 4, right? You're going to sit out those 2, you're going to sit out the first 2. Most notably, like you said, to be able to pick to not miss the Oklahoma game, I don't know. I want to know if the TV partners, the conferences, like how many meetings are we having here to iron that out? Because that's not part of a punishment. You can't choose part of your punishment when you get it taken. I also don't like that he gets to sit this next one out in 2026. So, you know, there are parts of it that I don't know. I don't know if it's not Michigan, if this happened at Bowling Green, does Bowling Green's coach get the same opportunity to pick and choose his punishment? Feels like they're still getting a little preferential treatment here.
That was exactly what I was going to bring up. Michigan is one of the top probably five brands in the nation, absolutely top eight brands in the country. SMU got the death penalty. SMU is not one of those top brands, with all due respect. If this was SMU now or Michigan then, would they have both been handled a little bit differently? That was the next thing that was going to come out of my mouth. There's a business aspect to this. And I think you actually make a great point. I was like, okay, I'll accept the one more game, make it Oklahoma. No, it should be the first two. Like, just make it the first two of the season. Is it disrespectful? We talked about this a little bit at the time. Is it disrespectful that they chose to not have Sherrone Moore for a Nebraska game? Is it disrespectful to Nebraska? I don't want it to be. Like, I don't want it to be. How is it not, though, at least a little bit?
I think it's almost unintentionally. I don't even know if Michigan means it all that disrespectful. They just want him there for the Oklahoma game. But if you're Nebraska, you have to. You have to view it that way because obviously they don't feel like – and remember, it's not just that he can't be there for the game. He can't be there at all in the practices during the week. Might need to keep an eye on those sidelines in the practice. Mm. The NCAA might want to have somebody there. But I find that as absolutely disrespectful. And again, I don't know if Michigan intends it completely, but maybe it's part of the way that they came in and beat Nebraska last time, didn't have too much of a problem. Of course, two times ago, that was not the case. So I don't know how much of their thought process got into it. That baffles my mind more than anything, that you can pick when your punishment is. And then it just kind of feels like Nebraska, Michigan's looking down at Nebraska saying, well, yeah, we're not too worried about that.
Is there anything off the text line? I know we got to go to break, but is there anything off the text line real quick?
Earthquake Glue points out that Denard Robinson's shoes did have Velcro on them. So that kind of helped with it.
There was Velcro?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Well, that kind of helps. Yeah.
He had Velcro cleats.
He had Velcro. Yeah. Instead of tying his shoe, he'd Velcro them, but keep the shoelaces untied.
Well, then that's kind of like, I got to see a picture of this. Maybe I knew it and I just forgot. You know, I don't think of Denard Robinson all the time.
Well, like you're saying, if you do it with your shoes untied, they might fly off.
Well, that's what I always wondered. But if he had Velcro, maybe I knew that and I just forgot. That would make a little bit more sense. I'm like, how in the world? Plus, he's like the fastest dude on the field. So how does that work? Velcro cleats. You know, they got these slip-on shoes now. They're like legit. They're like pre-tied. You can just slip them right on. Oh, my kids use them all the time.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Is I need to get them because I'm infamous or not infamous or whatever word you want to use for leaving my shoes partially tied and then I just slip them on and off. So maybe I should just buy the slip-on shoes and make my life easier. Anything else?
So people were kind of – somebody also asked, did Harbaugh serve that 5-game suspension? Was that a different wasn't that for a different set of rules, recruiting violations? That was actually – 2 of those were. So he set out a total of 5 games. The 3 games was for the sign-stealing portion of it, and the other 2 games were for a separate one. So just kind of ironing that out. Yes, there have been plenty of cheating and serving suspensions at Michigan.
Wasn't there Cheeseburger Gate? I don't know if it was ever called.
That might have been what it was.
Yeah. How silly does Cheeseburger Gate sound now when we're just handing out, 6-7 figures to players? Yeah, actually, there should be an accumulation effect. Like, this is the third time they've had to penalize Michigan for something. Like, there should be an accumulation effect to this as well. All right, I do know that we got to get to break. I'm going to hold a thought. When we come back, I'll share that thought. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.